This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, baby. I'm not going to lie. I don't like to toot my own horn every once in a while, but I do. We've really nailed the round table this year. We had Grayson during the Bills week. We had Drew during the Chiefs in Cincinnati. And then Rob Brenton just kind of falls into our lap, and he's talking to Mac last night. He's like, oh, man, Carolina, the Chiefs, what are we going to talk about? And Mac goes, no, bro. Mm-hmm. Colorado, Kansas.
You excited for the big game at Arrowhead Stadium?
I am excited for the big game at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah. He wants me to come in Monday and just be quiet.
I would love that. That would make me very happy.
But for me, like with Kansas, it's like you had your chance, you blew it. I have no interest. Sorry, man. Welcome to the dead end. We'll see you again next year. Like they failed from the start.
They definitely failed at the start. But there's an element I enjoy of recently, the Grim Reaper. I mean, they killed Iowa State's season. Yeah. They ruined that. BYU's season looks pretty ruined because of Kansas. I mean, right. Colorado's the new flavor of the month. There's a little bit of like, let's just keep being the dream killers.
Isn't that kind of a lame way to approach life, though, being the guy that stomps out but everybody else's dream?
True, but nothing left.
If they keep stomping out dreams, they do technically get bowl eligible. So you get to end up at the Tax Slayer Bowl, which
I have no problem. And I know this is probably a Carrington take. If I'm playing Uno and somebody has 50 cards in their hand, I have a draw 25. There you go, dude.
Yeah, keep beating them.
Yeah, I understand that, but from like a fan's perspective, I think with anything, if you don't grab fans early, they're not going to be there late. And when people are trying to parade around telling you they've arrived, see, I think that's been the biggest problem for me with KU over the last couple of years. They spent more time telling me they've arrived, and then they come out and they lay an egg for the first 2 months of the season, and they're still telling people, "Oh, look what we're doing." Nah, you're irrelevant.
I also think arrived is relative because, like, for Kansas, I do think, considering what they were, like I got hired in 2020, and that 2020 Kansas football season was awful. They didn't win a game. They had the worst point differential. They gave the most sacks. Like it was barely watchable. It wasn't watchable football. It was barely Division I football. And, you know, 4 years later, they're fighting for a bowl game. They've been to two bowls. They won 9 games last year. Like, arrival is all relative. Like, they're not arriving the same way that, you know, oh, man, Oregon has arrived. Like, they're the best team in the country. But Kansas, considering they were, you know, absolute trash water 4 years ago, they're a respectable program now.
They are
a rival in a sense.
But if you're going to maintain that level of respect, in September, you know?
Yeah, I agree. You got to grab the fans the first two games of the season, not the last four. Although I do think the fact that good teams are on the schedule, there is a little bit of, oh, well look at this. Like, there's like a interest, but I think a lot of the interest this weekend stems from the fact the Chiefs game is who cares.
Yeah.
Like, and on the road, if the Chiefs are playing at home against Denver or at home, a division opponent, or like it was Chiefs Bills this weekend, I mean, I would still care about KU Colorado, but we wouldn't be talking about KU Colorado, and there'd be no buzz in town about KU Colorado. The fact it's Chiefs on the road against a AAA opponent makes you feel like, oh, well, Saturday's the game.
Saturday's the day, right? And then the 2:30 start, we've determined the worst starting time for college football.
No. As a tailgater, it's the best time.
Ah, see?
If you're going to watch on television, I agree with you. It's the worst. But If you're going to go out there, you get out there, you get a few beers in you, you get some food cheaper than the $19 burger at Arrowhead or right. the $27 chicken fingers. You can bring your own food. You can set up, grill, tear it down, have a few beers, get in there, watch the game. You leave. You're home by 6:37. If you are still a wanting to go out person, you can. If you're done for the day, you've done your fun thing, and you can still R&R, watch some TV. You're not in bed, unlike the 6 o'clock games where you're home by 11 and it's straight to bed, or the 11 o'clock game where you're like, okay, now what with my day? If you're going,
See, when this is a married man right here.
Yeah, well, I know, and I understand where he's 100% coming from, but when you get up at 3:45 every morning, 11 a.m. game's kind of nice. Yeah.
You get to sleep in.
Go out there, tailgate, have some breakfast, and you know, go and watch the game, and then you're home to watch the 2:30 and the late games too, right. You know?
And if you're a 3:45 person, you're home right in time for that midday nap.
That's exactly right.
Get ready for the evening sleep. Mm-hmm.
I love me a midday nap. They're nice.
They are, man.
Anyways, did any of your friends already jump the KU football season? They're like diving straight into basketball. Like, it's basketball season.
Yes and no. I think KU's early season basketball schedule had so many interesting games that people dove in. But a lot of my friends who are, they're more casual about the football program.
Hey, did you watch Oakland last week?
I sold my Oakland tickets. I mean, that's because it was parents' week, and I made a nice little penny selling to some parents. I mean, I did a good job there. I played the game just right, but you know, like, they've played North Carolina, they've played Michigan State, and they're gonna play Duke next weekend. So a lot of the fan base has, hey, football season's over. We got, but if KU was playing Oakland, UNC, Wilmington, and who did K-State play the other night? The team, I don't even know. New Orleans, South, whatever. If KU was playing those teams, I think there wouldn't be that dive, but they're playing real, like, big-time basketball games right now. So
they
has been a little
do
bit
that, though, at the beginning of the year, which is good. That's how you get people's interest. Like, Feast Week's coming up. Let's go, baby.
I also think college basketball is doing something really smart. I don't know if, like, the powers that be did it or it just worked out this way. All those big games are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah.
We are not touching the football windows. We're staying out of Saturday because who's going to watch our product against college football on Saturday? No one.
No one.
Stay out of the NFL's way. Monday and Sunday are not for us, but KU North Carolina was on a Friday night. There's nothing else on television. I'll watch this top 10 basketball
game.
But
I also think it's a bad TV night.
But like, man, KU Duke this next coming week is going to be on Tuesday.
Perfect.
That is nothing else on television than KU Duke.
You got the Maxion on Tuesday, Rob.
Yeah.
You got Miami of Ohio versus Tulane. And Toledo played. You know what? Toledo, Greenmont.
But yeah, coached at Toledo? Gary Pinkel.
There you go.
There was a friend of the program back. Yeah. I don't know if you know, but the person who loves Maxion has had a nice relationship with Gary Pinkel. Come up in conversation once or twice.
You know, he also sent barbecue sauce to Bobby Bowden.
I've heard about the Bobby Bowden.
Do you think Pinkley would suffice to drinking wine with Pinkel, or do you think he'd still go craft beer?
If he had the opportunity to sit down and talk football with any coach, I think Binkley would be willing to drink whatever they told him to drink. Yeah. Binkley's not saying no. Hey, Bink, come on over to the lake house. The only rule I have is you can't drink beer. You can only drink wine. Binkley would say, what time should I be
there? I also don't think it matters. Doesn't matter what level of coach. If Connor Embry was like, why don't you come over to the house and we're going to have some white wine, Bink would be like, talk receiver, I'm in.
Yeah, Let's go. Yeah, no, Bink would add, you're 100% right about that. Well, I'm going to go talk football. Like, I think, like, for a lot of us, we dream about, like, you know, women. I think, like, Binkley's, like, dream would be sitting down talking football with, like, John Gruden and
Nick Saban.
Like, it'd be it for him. Like, it'd be over.
He wouldn't even walk you in pleasantries. He'd be like, hey, man, how's it going? Nice to meet you. He'd be like, so that cover three you run. Let's walk me through it.
He'd go right into, like, why Gruden ran a certain play or something like that. You know, you've seen Binkley enter a room before. There's no, hi, how you doing? He's like my daughter and my wife. They just pick up a conversation that they were having with somebody somewhere and brought it to the party. What are you talking about?
No doubt. Shout out to the Binkster. Bigger fan, you or your wife or KU?
Am I a bigger fan of my wife or KU?
Don't get me in trouble.
What are you doing here?
Who's the bigger KU fan, you or
me,
the wife?
Me.
You, for sure? Okay.
She was married, around and stuff? She likes Kansas. She went to KU, but she was married into the fandom. She was like, I like going to a few games, and I'll watch on TV if it's on. I'm like, no, that's not how we're going to do it. Your life has pivoted a little bit, but I mean, everyone's life pivots when you're married. You're not the same person at 24 you are at 34.
Oh,
that's just the nature of the beast. But yes, she is now now a bigger Kansas fan because she finds herself in more Kansas events.
Yeah, because you're yelling at 9:45 at night when Hunter Dickinson's not getting the rebound to hit your parlay cover.
Why is Hunter Dickinson 40 and still playing? Is he older than Perry Ellis was when he played at KU?
Guaranteed. Probably. Yeah, for sure he is. Yeah.
I mean, he's not as old as Caleb Love, who was on that North Carolina team as a freshman that lost lost to KU in the title game. He's still playing college basketball. He's at Arizona right now.
That was pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, he's still playing.
Double red shirt in a COVID year, man.
Yep.
He can play till he's 27.
Eventually you become the old creeper at the bar. Remember when you were at the wheel and like some old dude would walk in? You're like, who brought their grandpa here, you know?
You're still old. You're 25.
Right. No, but but when you're drinking with 18-year-olds, yes. Yeah, it's a huge difference.
It's the gift and the curse of NIL. Okay, good. These kids deserve to make some money. But hold on, you're staying in college till you're 25 because the check's better here? No. Yeah. Go play in Europe. It's time.
Go away. Yeah, go meander on somewhere else and go with people your own age.
Exactly. Speaking of it's time, not the greatest like action-packed game for the Chiefs in Carolina, and you and I were talking back in your office. I mean, like, I think it's one of those, and I know you get the analogy. I said Mahomes needs to go to Hoots Hollow and bring the driver out. Just let it air out, get it back right. I think that's what this game is. I know a lot of people say, you included, Chiefs don't blow people out, but by God, I'm ready for it.
I would love to see them blow someone out, just if nothing else, for a calm Sunday. It feels like every week this year, even when you're like, oh, they're probably going to win, you're like, God, why is it only a 4-point game? Why am I worried about this game? The Bucks game, I felt like they'll handle the Bucks. And then you're late in the game being like, well, they got to get a stop or this game's going to overtime. It just, I would like it for my own peace of mind, a nice 24-17, but at a certain point, that's just not who the Chiefs are. And I don't think Andy Reid is not the bludgeon someone unless he's got, you know, some reason for vengeance or there's something larger at stake. So, you know, it seems like a ho-hum, casual, oh, by the way, 20-7 win this weekend in Carolina because there's no ill will between Kanellis and Reid, and Mahomes doesn't really care about facing Bryce Young. I'm just going to just go business trip, and it's going to – you're going to look up in the fourth quarter and be like, it is 17-6. Why? Yeah. Why is it not 31-0? And you're going to want to switch to red zone, but you can't because you got to just stick it out. And that's what's going to be frustrating about Sunday. We talked on the show yesterday. We've said it like 12 times this year. You know, the Chiefs just are a good team. They find a way to win. That's just what good teams do. They grind out wins. I would love on a Monday to not talk about that, but instead be like, see, they throttled someone. That's nice. That's new. But I worry we're going to get another, see, they're just winning in the NFL is hard conversation.
Well, no, I'm 1,000% with you. It's like you're taking the words and speaking them from my head and kind of what we talked about, and that's very scary. But I just know I've seen this before. We've seen this play. We've seen this, you know, run. We don't see blowouts anymore. It's just not what they do. And as much as we would love to sit back on Sunday afternoon and say, just go win this game 35-0 so we could all just kind of relax in the third quarter, it's not going to be that way. And that's something that we just have to accept. And the sooner you can accept that, the maybe more ease you'll be. But then the playoffs roll around, and then it's time to throttle people. And then they take care of business.
I also think it's like there's like two things at play here. Like for the team, I don't think it matters. I don't think the actual play on the field, they need a blowout. Like, there are no such thing as style points in pro football. Like, I know everyone likes to point to point differential, and those things are nice stats, but they don't actually affect
anything.
They
don't mean anything.
But as a fan, I would love to at halftime be like, you know what? I got some Thanksgiving shopping to get done at Hy-Vee.
Right.
I'm going to put the game on the app. I'm going to head to Hy-Vee, throw the AirPods in. They're up 24-0.
It's the best time to go to Hy-Vee during a Chiefs game. No one's there. You have your run to the store. It's great.
As a fan, I would love to see what the Lions did to the Jags, just for peace of mind. But for the actual team on the field and what it looks like and the playoffs and what really matters in the grand scheme of things, blowing someone out doesn't matter, but as a fan, I would just enjoy it.
Yeah,
just,
it's a need versus a want.
Correct.
Right? I don't need it, but I want it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to see them blow anybody up, but I'd like to see them blow somebody out.
And I mean, maybe there's a little bit of it for the team. Like, if you could be like, hey, it's Carson Wentz time the third with a short week, that'd be nice.
It'd be
like,
nice. Yeah,
okay, so they're super rested for the Raiders, but I don't foresee it, and that's, again, doesn't really matter other than just for fans being like, man, it's 3:15. I'm still watching the Panthers game. Why?
Yeah, why am I doing this? Why are we still doing this? And why is it in overtime? But like now, next week, a week from today, Black Friday against the Raiders. Now, that's one where I can see a throttle.
Mm-hmm. That's where I talked about earlier where like Reed might be out for vengeance or blood. The Raiders came in and ruined a holiday in Arrowhead, and everyone went home sad. There's that iconic steel photo of Brittany Mahomes and Taylor Swift hugging each other in sadness with the score on the bottom line, and they have the Christmas hats. They want to humiliate the Raiders on Black Friday.
And they wanted to do that on the 27th of September or October in LA or wherever the hell they play these days. But, you know, you had the injuries and all that kind of stuff. Now you're starting to get a little bit healthier. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is more in the mix and whatnot. And so that could be the one where I see the first throttling of the year, because they don't like the Raiders because, well, they suck.
Yeah. And again, there's Andy Reid takes division games very, very seriously. Yeah. So if he can go out and humiliate that team, and I think that team probably has quit by then. Like,
do you really want to come like to Thanksgiving Day in a hotel in Kansas City when you're 2-9?
No. I think you're right. If there is a game where you're like, oh, but in Black Friday, you're going to be like, well, I guess I'll just keep watching because it's football. There's nothing else to do.
Well, we'll be there. You know, we've already talked, like, that may be when you bounce early. You're hoping it's like 35-0 in the third quarter, right? You know?
I never leave games early.
That's the old traffic game. Yeah, you tap the wife, and you're like, you know, we could probably beat the other 70,000 people out of here if we left now.
I mean, like, if you're up 35-0 with 2 minutes to go, everybody's leaving that
then
early.
You stick around. Then you just like, wait, then you sit back and relax.
Or you just go out to the parking lot and have another cocktail or
restart
two.
The tailgate. Like, listen, they've cut off sales in here. Yep. Or it's like, hey, we're right between the window. Or we could pay $96 for one small Michelob Ultra. Or guess what we have in the cooler back at the car?
Right. Yeah. Somebody was telling me the other day that somebody needs to.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Remind Andy that they don't sell beer in the fourth quarter, so start blowing people out. You don't need to keep people in the stadium buying beer in the fourth quarter.
Or do what the baseball world did and said, oh man, these games are going a lot faster. Beer sales now end in the middle of the eighth inning, not the seventh inning.
Is that really what
they changed that? Because they found out games were going
too fast. Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah.
So people are like, wow, I like baseball now. I can get beer in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
Said like five people and they made it happen.
Well, baseball just continues to adjust and make great changes, don't they?
It's in a renaissance, man. I'm telling you.
They realize no one's watching their product. And they're like, how do we get them back?
Yeah. Quicker games and more beer.
Yep.
Next thing you know, they'll get down to 130 games in the season instead of 162. Yeah. Speaking of two teams that play on Monday night, the Harbaugh Bowl. Mm-hmm. If Justin Herbert has another good week and he beats the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, has Justin Herbert now then solidified himself as a top five quarterback in the NFL?
Five is probably tough, but I think he's like...
Because it's Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar.
Yeah. And then
who's your fifth?
I mean, Jameis Winston has to be in the conversation.
Obviously. I mean, Jared Goff's having a great season this year. So Jared Goff.
Are you a golfer?
I'm a big golf believer. I literally am holding a Goff MVP ticket right now, which I'll probably not be able to cash out because the way Allen played against the Chiefs. But I'm a big Jared Goff is one of the more fascinating stories. We as an NFL fan base, just like once Sean McVay was done with him, we were kind of like, well, he stinks. On to the next. And now he has had a renaissance in Detroit.
So if I ask you a question today.
I think Goff's in the top five. I think right now Herbert's like that 7-8, and he can then move to like 5-6, where it's like, if you said top five, I wouldn't be like, what are you, crazy?
So if you start a franchise today and Goff and Herbert are on the board, you're
right now
Goff?
I'm taking Goff.
Wow.
But Herbert has a chance to really end. I think what I've learned about Herbert, and Goff has this too, is you got to get Herbert with a good coach. Like what Jim Harbaugh has done for, I mean, he's done it everywhere in his career.
And you
got to
give Goff
like
an amazing amount of talent.
Correct. But I mean,
Goff's never had a bad coach.
That's true. I mean, it works both
who
ways.
Who was his Cal coach? Was it Jeff Tedford? I couldn't name another Cal coach if you gave
who
me
who was his
coach?
No, it was, who's the guy at TCU now? Sonny Dykes. Sonny Dykes was his coach at Cal.
Oh.
So, I mean, college football's, they weren't doing a lot of winning out at Cal.
No. Would you take Jared Goff over CJ Stroud?
Right now, yes.
Yeah, even I wouldn't. I love Stroud.
Stroud's a nice. Stroud is
great now, cinnamon rolls.
I'm just blown away by this right now.
I get why Stroud has regressed. It's because his offensive line is the three of us. Like they can't block anyone. But a little bit of the shine came off Stroud because he hasn't been nearly as good. I mean, the Lions game particularly, you could say one of the reasons they lost is Stroud was horrible.
He's
in
definitely taken
that
that sophomore step back. Now next year, I would expect him to rebound and get back to where he is.
But people thought he would take the Allen Mahomes step.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
It's very difficult. I mean, Mahomes a little bit unfair, but remember Josh Allen, his first year, he was like the inaccurate big arm running guy. They're going to make him the full time. I mean, they went to a playoff game. Let's just see. And then Josh Allen looked like Josh Allen. You're like, oh, they have something. People thought Stroud would do that. Oh, he looked good. You know, he's a plucky underdog that made the playoffs. They won a playoff game. Let's see if he takes the next step. And he absolutely has not.
And to compare everybody to Mahomes and Allen, I think it's very unfair. It's just ridiculous, you know, because maybe nobody ever lives up to them in our lifetime.
Like, what do you do with Jalen Hurts? Like, Jalen Hurts, another one where it's like.
I like Jalen Hurts, though, too. I'm a fan.
I'm a Jalen Hurts fan. I don't like him as much as Jared Goff, with the addition
of Saquon Barkley.
No doubt.
Right?
No question. Yeah.
Saquon Barkley might be the MVP of the league if he didn't get touchdowns stolen at the goal line.
I also think what we're learning from this conversation, and it's not like some big industry secret, is Mahomes and Allen are kind of outliers, to your point. Yeah. Almost every other quarterback, to get the most out of them, you got to have someone around him.
No doubt.
Mahomes and Allen are just different. Like right now, I know Josh Allen is not a popular person.
I mean,
in
look
Kansas
how
City.
Much better Carrington is with you around him.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I agree, but.
I mean, it goes without saying.
But
could you imagine Justin Herbert in that Lions offense?
I mean, it would be very, very
disgusting.
Special.
Absurd. It'd be disgusting. And then imagine Jared Goff with the Chargers. He'd have Quentin Johnson, Ladd McConkey,
and J.K. Dobbins. If he has Jim Harbaugh, I think he would still be good. Because, I mean, it's mostly Harbaugh. Everywhere he goes, like Justin Herbert has a lot of physical talent, but everywhere Harbaugh goes, even in college, he gets the most out of his quarterback.
Because they believe in his system.
Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick, J.J. McCarthy, Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was a generational talent, but Andrew Luck, I mean, now Justin Herbert, everywhere that guy goes, he just breathes life into his quarterback. And they're all talented guys. It's not like he's taking a one-star kid who was a backup at Shawnee Mission Northwest and making him a star. He takes talented players, but he does something to he's a quarterback whisperer, and it's now showing itself because Herbert looked lost last year.
Oh, he terribly lost, but his coach was so stupid.
Mm-hmm. And then like there was a lot of bad in L.A., San Diego, whatever it was. But now Jim Harbaugh's really changed that.
What do you got coming up on the drive today on a Friday?
We got Nate Taylor in studio for an hour. Might talk a little bit of Panthers with him. We'll just kind of see. Who knows? And then we will do our
Friday. Don't overlook them.
We can overlook them. The team is a different story.
But they take their marching orders from us.
Obviously.
They listen to the station, and whatever we're saying is how they react.
Do you guys get those texts in the text line where people are like, you guys are overlooking the team? I don't play.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. Nope.
Sure. Yesterday they were like, maybe you guys should focus on the Panthers. Why? It's not my job to focus on
that. Maybe you should. Go read a depth chart.
Patrick Mahomes should focus on the Panthers. Rob Brenton doesn't care.
Can you name five Carolina Panthers?
Probably J.C. Horn, Andy Dalton, Bryce Young, Chuba Hubbard, and Leggett.
I would have gone with Steve Smith, Kerry Collins, Cam Newton, Luke Kuechly, and Jake DeLone.
By the way, Leggett has not been better than Xavier Worthy, but I was talking about this with the boss the other day. I would have loved Leggett in Kansas City, strictly as a media guy. His voice, his fun.
He was the other guy at LSU, right?
The way he said, like, if you're bored, Google how Xavier Leggett said asparagus the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even understand it. That's the word he was trying to. It would have been great from a media standpoint, but yeah.
I don't really eat that kind of stuff.
Mm. He's like, asparagus? I basically just eat fried food. You're like, good. You'd be fun to talk to.
And yet he's like athlete. Here we are eating fried
skinny
food.
Fat,
we got to go out there and run 8 miles just to burn off waffle fries and a chicken wrap.
Yeah, every 100 calories you eat is a mile on the treadmill, my friend.
Tough. All right, Rob. Well, I'll see you Monday with the victorious Colorado Buffalo team.
I'm sure you'll see me Monday. I don't know about that second part, though.
Okay. Well, Rob Brenton of The Drive, KU fan.